It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We have the C-Note coming up here in about 20 minutes or so. We'll hit the expressway in an hour and 20. We go commercial-free to the top every night in the 5 o'clock hour. G-Bag of the Day, 5:30, LA Live, 5:40. So that kind of sets the agenda. You do have Rangers pregame coming up at 6:30. I said yesterday a must-win series, and I was sweating that bad boy. Oh, we get to the ninth inning, but your guy Rowdy Tellez doing it again. He's got a real knack for these things. I'm sorry. Here's Wolchuk with your Cowboys sounds and NFL news of the day.
Oh, boy. All right. We got an update when it comes to the practice injuries. Peyton Turner per Todd Archer did not participate because of rib soreness from the injury that happened in the Rams game. And then Jalen Brooks set out with a hip bruise. So we got hip bruise. We got ribs. Those are the issues here with Turner and with Brooks. Now, last night, the red carpet was out, or was it a blue carpet?
It was blue.
Was it a blue carpet?
Yeah, they want that blue carpet.
Yeah, they do. Cowboys, Netflix, the Jerry docuseries, America's Team, the Gambler, and whatever it is, the team that he built. I don't know how the other side of that ending is, but we're excited. I'm going to watch this. I'm going to soak it in. I think it's going to be awesome. Netflix usually is pumping out pretty good docuseries here. But we had a lot of people talking. A lot of talking going down. Here was Jerry overall. When it came to controversy, and there certainly was a lot of controversy at that time. I'm sure they'll cover some of it during this Netflix series, but here's his thoughts on controversy.
I do believe if we're not being looked at, then I'll do my part to get us looked at. The Cowboys are a soap opera 365 days.
The stream will begin.
When it gets slow, I'll stir
it
up.
Please take your seats.
And so it is, it's wonderful to have the great athletes, have the great players. But there's something more there. There's sizzle. There's emotion. And if you will, there's controversy. That controversy is good stuff in terms of keeping and having people's attention.
Got to keep the controversy brewing. We got to keep the attention brewing. And honestly, hey, from a marketing, from a business perspective, Jerry's crushed it. He's right. He keeps the Cowboys in the news. But I do wonder, you know, this kind of goes back to some of the stuff that I know you were grilling Stephen Jones about, Gavin. Other people, Don Van Natta, talking about the contracts. And hell,
Bill Barnwell
had this article out. Yeah. And cutting it short, I mean, we can just get to the meat and potatoes of this. He was talking about like the Cowboys' lack and how much money they have cost themselves with their contract negotiations. And he looked at Dax. He said, realistically, we're looking at about $50 million and some meaningful and calculable amount of more by the Cowboys by waiting to get Dax's deal done twice. Waiting did not save them any money or prove anything beyond the fact that the organization failed to get the negotiations over the line until it had forfeited virtually all of its leverage. Then CeeDee Lamb last year. Again, you look at that. Lamb would have been paid his fourth year base salary at $2.5 million, his fifth year at $18 million, but the Cowboys likely spent $14 million more on Lamb's deal in 2024 than if they had negotiated the year earlier. So you look at that combined, that's $63.9 million in extra money paid by the Cowboys because of their negotiating tactics, and then the Micah deal this offseason, and how much more they're going to end up losing and how much more they're going to end up paying because of that. So some of it might come back to, hey, Jerry does want to be in the news, but it's also just bad business in terms of building a football team. And I know Steven will say, hey, every negotiation is different, and he's right. We don't know what goes on behind closed doors in fairness to them. But it does seem like a flawed strategy. And
well, it doesn't cost you any actual real money. You're going to spend the same amount of money. You're just giving more to your stars. So you get to say our quarterback is the top paid. You're not helping yourself win. But right, that would be a lot of work, you know. And I think this strategy also allows them to pay more attention to concessions, real estate, and oil. Because they're just like, oh, well, we're just not going to think about it until there's a deadline. Then we'll give them way too much money. But the deal is it's free marketing. You don't have to spend any actual extra dollars for this.
And it is costing them money, though, in terms of that given year, the salary cap. And they're a team that talks about the salary cap all the time.
Yeah.
So because of these and them now prolonging it, like there's cap space that could have been saved in these other years for them to actually have attacked it and go for it, which is something that you talk about a lot. So like they're kind of hurting themselves in these areas because of them prolonging it, whether it is for the headlines and the news and the controversy.
But they're helping themselves if you accept the fact that they are more business, like what Denzel said today. They're right. much more interested in making money than winning games.
Yes.
Okay, so,
they are helping themselves a lot.
So let's get to the man on fire, Denzel Washington, who has a new movie coming out. He spoke with Stephen A. Smith on First Take, and here was Denzel calling out Jerry.
There's box office, and there's Oscars. Jerry, been a while, huh? You ain't been to the show, you wouldn't know.
Ooh.
Wouldn't been to the show, you wouldn't know.
Uh-oh.
Haven't been to the show, so you wouldn't know what it is to win.
I don't need to add.
I feel like we could
And I love the Cowboys. I love the Cowboys because I really love them. This is why I feel the way I feel. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about the movie.
And I wanted to get back to the movie because, you know, you didn't bring the Cowboys.
Speaking of the movie, the same thing.
Highest to lowest. You didn't bring it up.
And what does it say down the bottom of the movie?
What?
Or does it say it on the one sheet?
What does it say?
All money ain't good money, Jerry.
Say it again.
All money ain't good money, Jerry.
One time.
August 15th, we open Friday.
Woo, Lord.
All money ain't good money.
I would say that this falls into the category of not good money. When it comes to paying your players and doing what's best in terms of team building, because we want to put the best product on the field, like there's other things, and Jerry said it, like, hey, if it's boring out there, I'll do something, I'll stir it up. And he's great at doing it. I'm sure he can find other ways to get some controversy stirred up, then it's always got to be prolonging contracts. It's tiresome, it's boring, it's old, and everyone's kind of caught up to what you're doing here. So this Micah thing, I think, is legitimate. I think this Micah one is different to the previous two, but there was no reason with Dak and CD to have that go on take as long as it's taken, and I hope the same thing doesn't happen with Tyler Smith.
Unless they had questions about Dak. I don't know about CD having questions about CD. Maybe the questions about Dak were the ones that prolonged this. That the fact that people in the organization are like, you have to do this, and then Jerry didn't want to do this. That would be the only thing that I think that, to me, that one makes sense in a way. The way they operate, I was part of that for 14 years and stuff like that, and you know, I was always felt like we were hurry up and wait. Mm-hmm. We were a hurry up and wait team. And so with Dak, there's questions. There were questions. The owner had questions if it was really the right thing to do with Dak before all this was done. Is this really the guy that we want to do this with? And I think this is also Jerry's biggest fault is he listens to people telling him things. And it paralyzes him. I think it paralyzes the organization because they do get opinions. They do solicit ideas. They do have pods to talk about draft picks and things and how, you know, they want to get Mike McCarthy involved, even though he's been in Green Bay and never had anything to do with the player personnel department. They want to solicit opinions, and sometimes the opinions don't line up with what Jerry wants. And then it's like, listen, we have to, all right, let's wait for Jerry to settle down. We'll revisit this in another week. Let's wait for Steven to settle down. We'll wait another week here. I think when you ultimately have that kind of front office with so many opinions solicited, it's going to be a long time before you get contracts.
You nailed it. You just hit the nail on the head.
But I would change out Denzel's take, and I would take out the Jerry stuff, and I would enter Steven, because Jerry is new money and he's willing to throw the dice and risk losing everything to try to win. He loves the thrill of it. It's really Steven that has turned this into a business operation that extracts value out of it. Like
maybe
I think that's the bigger issue here, is how Steven has wrestled control of the organizational philosophy.
That could be, but I think everything you said there, Brian, about you got too many cooks in the kitchen. I asked you when you had your kick-ass draft in Philly. Mm-hmm. You told me how small of a group that was. Do you think that helped you? You
Four
said
of us.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think a big issue here is, and here was James Washington James Washington was interviewed by Clarence Hill Jr., who could have been the MVP of the Cowboys' second Super Bowl win against the Buffalo Bills. He was incredible in that game. And I went back and watched it for the person who keeps texting and like, stop acting like you were alive and you know. There's a thing called YouTube, and you can also go purchase
a great time
all the games. Like, I've seen them all. The 70 Super Bowls, watched them all. Mm-hmm. The 90 seasons, watched them all. Like, that's the great thing about the internet these days. You're allowed to go back and do your homework and educate yourself. You didn't have to be consciously aware and alive there. But here was James Washington. Are you surprised about these 30 years since the Cowboys won a Super Bowl?
Cowboys ain't won in 30 years. How surprised are you?
After Jimmy left, I'm not surprised.
Jimmy had the ability to do all of this. Draft his guys, trade, and Jerry handled the business. And it was a tremendous pairing. Ever since then, for whatever other reasons you want to put in, I think that might be a huge cause of this. Because Jerry does, and you've always said this, he takes in a lot of information. He talks with friends.
Bill Parcells.
He asks for advice.
Al Davis.
All of that.
Bill Belichick.
I think that's an issue. You need to have, and maybe it can be a core group of three people, maybe, but you need to have one vision. You need to have ultimately one guy that's got a plan that's going to make the decisive decisions here.
But that's what happens when your GM is not an actual football guy. Well, so that's what he has to do.
And he's been fighting against people that have been saying that for the last 30 years. And that's why he won't ever give up the GM title, because he feels like people don't respect him.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I agree with almost everything you guys are saying. I still think this team could overcome if they just spent more money. You know, for all of their flaws, they do something incredibly well. And that's find talent out of college and draft it. You know, if they would just, when they have those good runs, say, hey, we need to shore up our weaknesses. And that's how Jerry was aggressive in the 90s. Then I think they could be champions many times over.
I think
since 95.
I've said this before, and a buddy of mine, Steve Karakoff, who is, Jimmy brought him from Miami with him. You know, so he's seen it all. And Steve and I were talking about this one day. And when Jerry was at his absolute leveraged to the point where it was like he didn't know if it was going to work or not.
Didn't know if he's going to be able to pay the bills.
He didn't know if he was at his absolute best.
Yeah.
And
because fortune favors the bold.
Yeah, he even said it. And there's no reason for them to be that way anymore.
No,
but there's no reason to. There's no reason to take the chances.
But
when you're losing $1 million a week at mm-hmm. that time, and you don't know if you're gonna be able to make the interest payments and all, that's when Jerry was at his absolute best. And I don't think that Steven shares the same appetite as his dad, because they've made it. You know, his dad went through something. I'm going through this right now, trying to create my business. You know, you just this uncertainty that you have, and you wake up every day.
It's driving you.
Just it drives you. But you're thinking about, you got people's lives you feel responsible for. And you just every day you're out there thinking, how can I do this? What stone do I need to turn over here? But when you get to a point where you're like, you know, where he's at, it's no longer that way. This whole thing, this Netflix thing. I think Jerry Jones honestly is worried about his legacy. I think he's worried about, and Jane Slater and I were talking about this, and it makes a lot of sense. Like a Joe Biden, who is, and I don't mean to make this political, but a career politician who was a guy that was able to work both sides of the aisle and get things done. But then he became the president, and he wasn't the same guy. He didn't have his fastball anymore. And now the legacy of Joe Biden is no longer a politician that got things done. He's kind of it's a joke. It's just a lot of jokes about. And I think Jerry Jones honestly is worried about his, and he says maybe that, oh, I'm thick skinned and all that and stuff like that. I think things bother him now. I really, really do. I think things bother him more. I think you see interaction with the media. He's lashed out at us a couple of different times, you know, and I think that to me, he's finally realizing that if he leaves this earth, his legacy might not be the guy who was the three-time Super Bowl champ.
And I think he maybe last night was trying to tell us, in light of his legacy, it's actually his son's fault when he said that line that you referenced a few minutes ago. When we had success, our appetite for risk became shorter. He spelled it out last night. We haven't won because we haven't swung hard enough trying to win. That's all Stephen Jones doing. The text says, you know, after Stephen was right about Johnny Manziel, that was checkmate. That was, Dad, you're too old. You want to draft Johnny. Go do your thing, right?
Sure.
You know, son's got this right now. And I think Jerry loves his firstborn son so much as Stephen is firstborn.
No, Jerry Jr.
He loves his secondborn son so much because he's actually more competent than firstborn son. He doesn't want to take it away from him. But he knows son ain't got it.
Jerry Jr.'s the youngest.
He told Stephen that day, he said, son, I never got anywhere playing the safe thing. We just did the safe thing, right? But since then, he's let son do the safe thing for return on investment offseason after offseason. So we're stuck with rosters watching undrafted guys and seventh rounders trying to start for you. This is insane, right? And it's I don't know. It's actually a good segue into the next segment. Okay, we got the C-note coming up here, the Cowboys news of the evening. How does the next 3 years look for the Cowboys compared to their peers? ESPN studied it. How likely are they to have more success soon? That's coming up next here, G-Bag Nation.